Your Wanderkin Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Connect Incorporated, who built a communication platform called ChineseBrief.com for the Confucius Institute, was incorporated in 2002 in Michigan by Chinese immigrant Eugene Yu, who then went on to create a research and development subsidiary of Connect Incorporated in Communist China, registering as a foreign national under his Chinese name with U.S. dollars. 1 week later, Connect in Michigan begins outsourcing to Communist China for election software coding, and they begin developing an entire product line of digital election software. In 2014, they were focusing on developing an election backend server subsystem. In 2015, they filed a patent for network voting of absent electorates. This patent was then quickly transferred to a brand new company born out of the CCP's big tech division that specializes in elections. Connect Australia was established by Eugene Yu in 2018, and during the 2020 elections in Queensland, reporting problems were caused by coding resources being locked down in China, revealing that Australia's election software was being written by coders in Wuhan, China. According to a Chinese document entitled International Elite Entrepreneurship, the mission of Connect Incorporated is to become one of the top 50 e-commerce service providers for schools and government in the United States. A communist Chinese company quietly running election software systems out of Michigan. One would normally expect this to be a much bigger story. In November of last year, Connect received a $300,000 grant from Governor Gretchen Whitmer's team. On October 3rd, the New York Times published an article defending Connect entitled "How a Tiny Elections Company Became a Conspiracy Theory Target." The next day, Eugene Yu is arrested for suspicion of stealing poll data. He is extradited to Los Angeles, where Connect had a 5-year contract with LA County Elections. Prosecutors in Los Angeles claimed that Connect was illegally giving sensitive data to their partners in Communist China. George Soros-appointed District Attorney Gascon said the investigation only involved personal information of election workers and would not impact election results. And now, Chinese spy and Connect CEO Eugene Yu's case has been sealed. The corrupt FBI has reportedly vouched for him. He was released from custody, given an electronic tracking bracelet, and scheduled to report back for arraignment on November 17th, well after the U.S. elections. Meanwhile, Connect provides the software for the U.S. military's mail-in ballots. They manage polling campaigns for elections in Australia, Canada, and several areas of the United States. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Folks, find and share that video at band.video. Communist China rigging elections with Connect Incorporated. That is the latest from Greg Reese. Remember, you support everything we do here, including the great content at band.video by going to InfoWarsStore.com. You can also go to SaveInfoWars.com. You can also go to 1776Coin.com. But if you go to InfoWarsStore.com, be sure to use the promo code 1776 to get an additional 10% off and know that everything that you spend at InfoWars Store is a war bond in the InfoWar. It is a guarantee that we will be able to continue to operate that much longer and that with your support, we will make it through this rough time and come out ahead. Hopefully, as Winston Churchill put it, see ourselves in the sunny uplands of the future once we get through this tyrannical blip in the radar of human existence. We'll be right back.
The biggest sale of 2022 is running right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Incredible products like X3 and Vitamin Fusion, DNA Force Plus. If you want to boost your body's energy, your stamina, your libido, particularly your immune system, these are the products. And they're all 40 to 50% off. But when you use promo code 1776 at checkout, you get an additional 10% off and double Patriot points on your next order. So please visit InfoWarsStore.com today and experience X3, experience Vitamin Mineral Fusion, experience DNA Force Plus, and so many other great products, and know you're keeping the tip of the spear on air. So again, 1776 is the promo code at InfoWarsStore.com for an additional 10% off. I want to thank you all for your support, because these products aren't just amazing, they also fund the InfoWar, a 360 win. Again, thanks for your support. It's a critical fight. Visit InfoWarsStore.com right now.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The hour of American Journal has begun. Let's talk a little bit about a wider view of what's happening. In particular, how the Great Reset is still being implemented at a pace and has not been derailed from its track. In fact, it seems to be increasing its attempt to bring about a global system of total corporate control based on surveillance and monitoring everything you do, everything you buy, everywhere you go, everyone you know, everything you say, and then assigning you a score that is not determined on any legitimate scale, which I would consider – I don't think there's any scale that you could legitimately grade people on. But let's be honest, if the people that run the media and run politics in this country are the ones deciding what is good and what is bad, the scale looks nothing like what our personal morality scale might look like. I might want to reward people for being self-sufficient, reward people for going to church, reward people for volunteer time and helping people out, reward people for, I don't know, traveling and not sitting at home watching TV all day. Unfortunately, the people that are actually implementing this program seem to think that being a bug is the highest goal of humanity, living an existence of impermanence where nothing you do makes any effective and permanent change to anything ever, that you not create life, that you not build, that you not take risks. They would rather you just be a serf, a subservient moron, a useful tool in a assembly line, and then to die willingly at 75 without having reproduced at all, without having contributed anything of any importance to anybody ever. And of course, they're predicating this all on saving the earth because they're heroes, because they're so compassionate after all. Let's take a look at some of the few headlines that we have here. Commonwealth Bank now is tracking your carbon footprint based on how you spend money. The Commonwealth Bank in Australia has a new carbon footprint feature on internet banking. The app shows how many trees a customer has destroyed based on spending. Again, it's just completely absurd. Partnered with Eco Startup to encourage sustainability from Australians. So they're already doing it. They're already breaking down the carbon footprint of individuals for doing things like driving, eating groceries or eating out, and they have options to offset your footprint, which I guess means pay them money. I don't know what else that could possibly mean. How to reduce your footprint, which essentially means live less. Live less. Stop going places. Stop eating things. Just stop it. Stop buying things. Stop owning things. It's all hurting the earth, you guys. Of course, this is just the excuse that they're using. It doesn't mean it's real. Doesn't mean it's actually making any positive difference. In fact, it's only making a negative difference. especially when you have things like the Drax power plant, where they'll claim we've offset our carbon footprint by burning trees. And then they'll tell you how many trees that you've saved by burning trees. This is really what they're doing. This is how backwards and retarded all of their crap is. Daily Mail also has the story. Outrage over new Commonwealth Bank feature. Commonwealth Bank is now tracking your carbon footprint based on how you spend money. Amazing. Italy now has laws for heating where they tell you the maximum temperature that you can keep your house at is 19 or 20 degrees Celsius, and heating will be off from 11 o'clock p.m. to 5 o'clock a.m. The Italian Ecological Transition Ministry has announced a new decree that limits indoor temperatures in your home. But it's not just Italy. Spain is also limiting indoor heating to 19 degrees Celsius and limiting air conditioning cooling to 27 degrees Celsius. These rules will be in effect until November 1st, 2023, over a year, to, quote, promote self-reliance in renewable energy production. That absolutely does nothing to promote self-reliance or renewable energy production, but these are just the words that they say. Doesn't matter. None of it has any bearing on anything. They just do what they want, and then they tack on random positive-sounding words to make it seem like what they're doing isn't indoctrinating you into a slave camp. France is doing this as well. Temperatures limited to 19 degrees Celsius, but they're also banning hot water in public buildings and reducing temperatures in swimming pools and gyms. But things could get even worse in Switzerland. If there's a gas shortage this winter, which is probably likely, again, because of the decisions that they make, because of the wars that they're starting, Switzerland is talking about a proposal to limit indoor temperatures to 19 degrees Celsius, just like Italy and Spain. And if people violate the rule, they could face a 3,000 fine per day, or people could be sent up to 3 years in prison. 3 years in jail for the crime of heating your home. And they're just doing this. They're just doing this. Nobody wants it. Nobody's advocating for it. Doesn't actually help anything. Doesn't do anything at all. They're just doing this because it's a democracy after all. The people don't want it. Nobody wants it. You put this to a vote, it would get thrashed down immediately. But we have to save our democracy. See, we're at war to save our democracy. And because we're at war, there's no gas. So now, in a completely undemocratic move, they are restricting and limiting your energy production in complete reversal of what democracy would actually have you do. So, again, it's all very confusing. When you're run by psychopath liars with hidden agendas of your extermination, things get a little confusing, I guess. Deutsche Bank unveils new target in cutting carbon footprint. Deutsche Bank AG will say it will cut emissions tied to its oil and gas financing as it refreshes targets for lessening its carbon footprint. The Frankfurt-based lender on Friday said it cut financed emissions, a type of accounting associated with investments linked to a company's carbon footprint, to upstream oil and gas by 23% by 2030 or 90% by 2050. And this is where it's really coming from. It's not that these things are being voted on and being implemented by the national government. These things are being decided on by cabals and coalitions of banking elite, who then dictate to the national government what their policy will be. And the national government then imposes that on the people, regardless of what the people believe or want or desire. And of course, with this, you will get surveillance. You'll get full and total surveillance. All of this is coming from the banks. All of this is part and parcel with each other. They all go hand in hand with one another. We'll go now to clip number four, as once again, we play this video that we've seen before, that tells you how this concept. In fact, first we'll go to 19, because this is about the consumer carbon footprint and how this will be used by banks to, of course, track everything you do and everywhere you go and everyone you interact with. Let's go down to clip number 19, where we see the World Economic Forum just telling you this, just explaining this to everybody who cares to listen.
We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint. What does that mean? That's, where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So, individual carbon footprint tracker. Stay tuned. We don't have it operational yet, but this is something that we're working on.
So it's just evil. It's just, these are the Bond villains of our time. This is what it looks like. I don't know how people don't recognize this.
Soon the Death Star will be fully operational.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let's go now to the central bank, or the CEO, I believe, of the International Investment Bank, talking again about digital currency and how it will be programmed, not just to track everything that you do, but it'll actually be controlled by the central bank itself. Let's watch clip number four.
A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that. Those two issues are extremely important, and that makes a huge difference with respect to what cash is.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a major announcement that affects every American and our free speech. The ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the deep state, is openly all over international television and U.S. television and the newspapers saying they're going to use the Alex Jones precedent to shut down all conservatives, to all populists, and Kanye West next. The lawyer suing Kanye West for $200+ million for simply talking about the coroner's report that they thought fentanyl probably killed him and that he didn't have any other injuries that would have killed him. That lawyer said, we're doing this off the Alex Jones precedent because the, quote, jury just found in Connecticut that Alex Jones made money by telling lies. So that's how they have this new legal system. It's absolute garbage. And Norm Pattis is one of the top constitutional lawyers in the country. And Norm Pattis, please recap and get into the exclusive information from the filing and why this is so incredibly serious and what they really did.
Yeah, the trial was deeply distressing. There was a default on discovery grounds, and then the certain facts were deemed, quote unquote, established. And the plaintiffs were able to persuade the judge that you, meaning Alex Jones and Free Speech Systems, were responsible for any harm that befell a plaintiff. The law is clear. Plaintiffs are required to prove that the damages they seek are related to the liability they assert. And we're working, as soon as I'm off the air here, I'll finish working on our final draft of a motion for what's called remitter to reduce the verdict on the grounds that the verdict is unsupported by the evidence and is a result of speculation, passion, and anger in violation of the defendant's right to due process of law. So both these motions will be filed today. The plaintiffs are expected to file their motion for punitive damages under CUTPA this afternoon. We'll have some reply briefs due to one another next week, hearings in early November, and then argument on November 7th about what the final judgment in this case should be. But from our perspective, Alex Jones, Free Speech Systems, was denied a fair trial, and we want a new trial.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen, we plan on staying on air. That's our plan. And we're already operating in small margins. That's fine. It's like we don't have strategic oil reserves. We have our tank. That's it. That's when you shop at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, we don't plan on going anywhere. We don't need more money. The crew doesn't demand more money. I'm not demanding more money. Alex Jones doesn't care if he works for the next 20 years and doesn't have to get paid. But if you want InfoWars to stay on air, folks, now is the time to shop at InfoWarsStore.com.
SaveInfoWars.com. SaveInfoWars.com. That's the coordinates for the main resistance. The fight is now, and it's your support that keeps us on air. I want to thank you. Now please go to SaveInfoWars.com. X3. It stands for triiodine, or all three types of iodine that the body needs to be healthy and survive and thrive. It boosts your libido, your energy, your stamina, your immune system. X3 is the ultimate iodine product on the market. It's back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com for 50% off, and it funds the InfoWar. So many of you are on the fence. You know our information is powerful. You know it's changed the world. Try the products at InfoWarsStore.com and start with X3 triiodine. 50% off InfoWarsStore.com. It takes about 2 weeks to kick in. An aspirin kicks in 30 minutes. Tylenol kicks in 30 minutes. This kicks in about 2 weeks on average. You need to experience it. Don't wait. You'll be impressed. InfoWarsStore.com, X3.
Welcome back, folks. This is American Journal. Just came across two articles and I want to share to you since it really illustrates what we're up against here. I'm in a little bit of trouble bringing them up here. All right. From the Financial Times, from October 20th, so a little less than a week ago, my guide to deglobalizing the world. He says this. This is from Rana Furuhar. He says, I'll never forget an interview I did years ago with the late Richard Trumpka, the then president of the AFL-CIO, America's largest labor union. Trumpka, a tough-talking former Pennsylvania coal miner-turned-lawyer, told me about a conversation he had in the 90s with a Clinton administration official about the fallout of NAFTA, which had been ratified in 1993, and the potential impact of China coming into the global trading system. Trumpka was concerned about a sudden flood of cheap labor into the global marketplace and the effect it would have on Americans' workers' incomes and lives. Quote, I told the official that the deals would kill us, and he agreed. But the official said that after a while, wages would start to go up again and things would even out around the world. When Trumpka asked him how long this process of leveling out might take, he answered, about 3 to 5 generations. So these are the way they make decisions. These are the way that the people in charge determine whether to ratify an agreement or not. They're like, yeah, it'll destroy the lives of millions of people. Sure, it'll gut industry in this country. Yes, it will eliminate our manufacturing base and destroy our economic powerhouse position. But we think we've done the models and it'll even out in about 100 years. Oh, well, great then. It'll even out. It'll even out. So this is globalism incarnate. This is what it's all about. This is the mindset of these people, and this is the way that they manipulate to achieve their ends. No concern about the people they're actually supposed to be serving. Their only concern is how do we pitch this to the people that we claim to be serving in a way that makes them go along with it, makes them not make too much of a fuss while we gut their entire nation wholesale like it's a deer we've just hunted. 3 to 5 generations, that's a century in the lives of the communities and the people in question. Is it any wonder then that the average American worker, just as those many rich countries, have begun to question globalization or that nationalism and populism are on the rise? As Harvard professor Danny Roderick, one of the few mainstream economists to challenge the perceived wisdom of his profession in recent years, argued in 2011, democracy, national sovereignty, and global economic integration are mutually incompatible. We can combine two of the three, but we'll never have all three simultaneously and in full. Again, you can have democracy and national sovereignty, but you can't have global economic integration along with that. And see other, you can combine the others as well. He goes on to talk about how all of this has really been targeted directly at the American people, and that there's so much contempt and hatred for the average American in the minds of the elite that actually are making decisions that affect the lives of the average American. It's no wonder that their decisions constantly put them at the bottom. It's not an accident. And as our guest, Phil Williams, will tell us coming up, because he says it really well in his article, that this is all just horrifically immoral. This is all just hateful people who are actively going out and destroying lives of others that they don't deem as worthy of respect or consideration. This article in the Financial Times goes on to say, a few years ago, I interviewed a top aide to a senior Democrat senator who told me with amazement about the sense of certainty that there used to be within the party that rural areas in low-density locations simply weren't worth considering politically. Says, quote, I remember back in 2016 talking to a friend in the White House who had been traveling and seeing a lot of rural poverty in places like Iowa and Virginia, said the aide, quote, he told me, don't worry, we've got this figured out. We've done the models, and it turns out it's cheaper to pay people to move to the top 50 cities than to try to create jobs where they are. The contempt inherent in that statement, which assumed that the concept of place and home don't matter, was not only insulting but politically wrong. Rural areas got Trump elected, and people are no longer migrating around around the U.S. as much as they once did. But both parties now appreciate that place matters. After decades of winner-take-all trend in which the majority of prosperity has been located in a handful of cities and companies, look for business and policymakers to be focused on ensuring that wealth and place are remoored. Well, that obviously hasn't happened, and they're still demonizing and running roughshod over any care or consideration for the people who live in rural areas in this country. So, you know, there's been no recalibration in terms of national politics for America. They still hold rural Americans in just as much disdain as they always have. But this is the world they're creating, and so they recognize that what they're doing is bad for you. They recognize that how they're treating you is objectionable and horrific, and that you wouldn't stand for it if you knew what they really said about you behind your backs. If you knew, they're just like, no, they're doing the best they can. No, they're not. They're running scientific models that go, well, in 100 years, the lives that we've destroyed, your lives that we've destroyed, it'll be fine because we'll replace you with foreigners. Like, that's the way that they think. That's the way that they feel. That's the way that they make decisions on a national level. It's just up to you to see through their lies. It's entirely on you. It's entirely up to the average American to just have a semblance of skepticism, just a modicum of doubt when it comes to the Democrats in particular, but Republicans as well, politicians as a whole, and just know that their goals and their ambitions not only don't take your life into account, it sees your life and your existence as impediment and something to be manipulated out of existence. But if they can't do that, if they can't outright get rid of you, what they will do is lull you into acceptance. They will drug you into a state of unthinking adherence to their dictates. And how this works is they have things like antidepressants that aren't antidepressants, don't work, never have, never been tested, and yet are given to tens of millions of people in this country. Something like a quarter of all young women in this nation. Actually, I think it may be upwards around a half now. Whatever the number is, it's way, way, way too many people are on antidepressants, and the primary, you know, takers here are white liberal women. A 5-minute chat with her doctor is how this article is from The Economist. How to make better use of antidepressants. A 5-minute chat with her doctor is how Adele Framer's 11-year ordeal began. She complained about work-related stress. For that, she was prescribed paroxetine, a common antidepressant. There was no conversation about alternatives, such as psychotherapy, I would add, or working out or getting a hobby or getting a new job. But no. This is the globalist frame now. There's no such thing as bettering yourself through health and connecting your soul to nature and community. No, it's keep doing what makes you miserable. Just take a drug to make you happy while you're doing it. There's also no discussion of the drug's side effects or when to stop taking it. Quote, I had a very typical patient experience and a very typical patient attitude at the time, says Ms. Framer. I was a believer that it would be a great idea to just solve my problem with an antidepressant. Her libido vanished when she started taking the drug. Then, after years of taking the medication, she became extremely apathetic and lethargic, a common effect of antidepressants that deepened over time. So now, no longer in the stressful job she once held down, she saw little reason to persevere. But trying to stop was a disaster. She became hyperactive and agitated. She had brain zaps, electric shock-like sensations. Her sexual dysfunction became worse, and those were just some of her withdrawal symptoms. It doesn't even help you being depressed. It just makes you a lethargic, apathetic tool for the progress of their destructive ideas.
Alex Jones has been ordered to pay Sandy Hook victims' families nearly $1 billion.
$1 billion verdict.
Almost $1 billion in damages.
$965 million in damages.
$965 million. $1 billion.
$100 billion.
This is actually a larger warning for other liars and conspiracy theorists in our society and our politics. It's a rebuke and a punishment that we believe, according to a lot of legal experts, will set this new precedent.
The mother of George Floyd's daughter now filing a $250 million lawsuit against Kanye West.
Kanye West made, quote, false statements about the manner of Floyd's death. He says the family could sue for intentional infliction of emotional distress, citing the recent Alex Jones trial as an example.
Alex Jones is patient zero. Take him out.
Now, what does this mean?
For the legal limits and punishments for other individuals who make lying and conspiracy theories part of their business model or politics. Fox News is clearly watching this closely. They are facing this suit by Dominion Voting Systems for over $1 billion.
You heard that right. Billion with a capital. Bye.
This is not a trial.
There was no jury trial in this case.
No judge in U.S. history has ever told somebody what they can and can't say.
Everybody knows you're supposed to get your day in court. Yet the one person who is being denied any day in court is Alex Jones.
Alex Jones didn't kill anybody.
You were clear in that you had a change of heart, or you believed that you were wrong, or you believed you made a mistake, which I think is admirable. And I think the fact that they want to browbeat you after that is what is so scary. And I think that people out here would do well, if you're watching, to understand that apologies do nothing with these monsters.
The whole purpose of the First Amendment is to keep the government the hell out of the business of speech. Totally disregarded by the Connecticut courts when they decided to write their Alex Jones rule.
This judge, Barbara Nellis, is a disgrace to the rule of law, a disgrace to the judiciary, a disgrace to the justice system.
So the regime has come for Alex Jones. They always start with Alex Jones when it comes to these things.
You don't have to be an Alex Jones fan to understand that he is most definitely being made an example of.
The law industrial complex, in collusion with the media, can work in harmony to completely obliterate somebody financially.
That's $1 billion for expressing an opinion, which under the prevailing Supreme Court case law is absolutely protected.
The question is, do they really care about what Alex Jones said, or do they want to destroy Alex Jones?
Do you now believe that the First Amendment is absolute, or do you believe that the First Amendment has limitations?
I believe that the First Amendment is absolute and that you can't be priorly constrained. Obviously, if you get found guilty by a real jury in a real trial for defamation or libel, then it doesn't have absolutes. It does have limits, but I wasn't given a free trial.
The First Amendment is unique in the world. Most countries don't have that. I think the United States is the only country that has this, right? This enshrined freedom of speech in our highest law. That's what they want to take away.
This is our rights being taken. This is a Hollywood production. I'm not saying Sandy Hook didn't happen. I'm saying the production of what I supposedly did and how big it became and this huge event. I'm not the Sandy Hook guy. I'm the guy that wrote the number one best-selling book in the world, The Great Reset and the War for the World. That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are watching American Journal. I am your host, Harrison Smith. My guest is Phil Williams, former Alabama state senator, attorney, and talk show host. Phil Williams is a former two-term Alabama state senator, API chief policy officer. He's an attorney and the host of Right Side Radio. His program goes beyond covering news and addresses the concepts of free markets, limited government, strong families, and the values of personal liberty. You can listen live weekdays from 2 to 5 p.m. Central on rightsideradio.org. That, again, is rightsideradio.org. And just to be clear, it might have been confusing how I said that. He's a former Alabama state senator and a current talk show host, not a former talk show host, just to make that perfectly clear. So it's Right Side Radio. His Twitter is at SEN Phil Williams, and rightsideradio.org is where you can go to find his podcast and his radio show and everything that he does. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Williams.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm very glad to have you. And the topic of discussion today is this article. You can find it at 1819news.com. No such thing as a free lunch. And you lay out a very powerful argument, several very powerful arguments, I should say, against the Biden student loan forgiveness plan. You make not only the, just monetary argument against it, but also you get into the ethical and moral hazards that this type of, not legislation, but fiat dictate from the government has. Tell us, what are the ethical or moral problems you have with forgiving student loan.
Yeah, Harrison, thanks for having me on. So, I mean, the reality is you can dissect this bailout program from a variety of different capacities. And I outlined a legal, an ethical, a moral, and a mental, problem with every bit of it. Ethically speaking, I think one of the biggest things that people have to look at is, why is it okay for the government to pick winners and losers? I mean, when did it become okay for the government to say, we like you, but we don't like you, so we're going to make sure that we pay off a student loan over here at the same time? You know, that guy who worked at night and got his certificate to be a journeyman electrician, and he went out and borrowed $50,000 to start his own business, he didn't get a bailout. In fact, if anything, he's paying off the bailout for the guy who got the underwater basket weaving degree or a liberal arts degree. So I think that ethically speaking, the government should never be in the position of picking winners and losers and deciding that tax dollars go to one favoritism over another.
Yeah, absolutely. And you say, and again, I encourage people to go out and read this article. And I'm really tempted just to read the whole dang thing myself on the show, because, you know, each part of it is such a powerful argument against what the Democrats are doing, not just with student loans, but with a whole host of other topics that they tend to have the same mindset on. But you say this, quote, "A healthy society cannot survive on the notion that no one should be held accountable for their own actions. The millions and millions of productive citizens out there making a go of it and contributing to their communities who take the great risks and know the great failures, but also know the great achievements and satisfaction of hard work. Those are the people now being called upon to pat the poor souls on the head who have been said to borne the ignominy, the burden, the pain of being asked to pay for their own debts." I mean, this really is sort of at the crux of what we believe as a nation, whether we believe that people have to be allowed to go out and pursue their dreams and then suffer the consequences of failing, or whether we're all just going to live, you know, Roosevelt said, Teddy Roosevelt said, you know, live in this vague sort of non-existence, the grayness that knows neither success nor defeat. You're really making sort of a man in the arena argument here.
Absolutely. And that's what it is. I mean, America was birthed on the idea of the individual citizen having rights and having a say in their governance and having the ability to, you know, exceed and go beyond the norms of what a government says they can or cannot do. I mean, that's the American dream, is the idea that if you work hard, you can succeed. In this case, the government is saying you don't have to work hard. In fact, don't work at all. We'll take care of that for you. And all they're doing is getting into my moral argument that they're establishing more and more of a welfare mentality that disenfranchises people from the value of hard work.
And you talk about that, the welfare mentality, and I think that's an important thing to consider, especially when you see the way young people are being brought up now to quite literally have no notion of consequences for their actions or consequences for the decisions that they make. They're insulted if their decision turns out wrong. They think they've been wronged and that this makes them a victim and somebody else has to come in and fix it for them. I'm not interested in living in a society occupied by a bunch of crybaby weirdo idiots that don't know how to take care of themselves. I want my neighbors to be strong. I want my fellow Americans to be strong. But the Democrats seem to thrive on weakness. Is that what it's – is it just about the Democrat electoral victories that they need weak people so that they can – give them things? I mean, is it really as simple as that?
Well, I think there's certainly some of that in there. I mean, I did a segment on my show the other day, talked about what I call buying friends and voters. Mm. And this is certainly – the timing of this is certainly suspect with regards to the midterms that are upon us. But I look at it too, and I think I quoted Pastor Adrian Rogers in that piece that you're talking about there, the no free lunch. He said specifically, you cannot multiply wealth by dividing it. Right. You do not grow an economy by deciding to distribute things across some form of an equitable distribution. There's no such thing as equitable, especially when you've got government deciding what is equitable. All said and done, I mean, when the Israelites went across the Jordan, God could have just cleared the land. He could have just, you know, destroyed the enemy before they got there. He didn't. It was worth fighting for. He wanted them to have a stake in it. And so I believe that we've got to have the ability to see a next generation of Americans believe that what we have as a nation is worth working hard for, what it is worth fighting for, it is worth, you know, putting your neck on the line for. But if we continue to just bail them out over every bad decision they make, well, I mean, we're building a society that is going to wind up being the downfall or the ruin of our nation.
Absolutely. And the problem I see with this is that your moral argument is very strong, and I agree with it, and I think it is immoral for this to happen. The problem is, does that argument even work with these people anymore? I mean, if you tell a Democrat it's immoral to do this, do they even care? I mean, it seems like first we have to get people to actually care about morals and ethics in the first place, instead of seeing everything as a zero-sum game where we just have to get ours no matter how we do that. Do people even care about the moral argument anymore, or is this just go right over their heads?
Well, I think some, it definitely goes over their heads. I mean, you can look at some of the decision makers in D.C. and figure that out pretty quick. The other side of this, though, I will say there's a lot of people who took out a student loan who never asked to be bailed out. They never sought this. And I understand there's an application process now, but the truth be told, there was not a crisis upon us. The nation was not coming down to its knees because of the student loan programs. Are there reforms that could be made? Absolutely. But this was not something that you were hearing a clarion call from all of the members of society who had. My wife and I paid off her student loan.
Right.
I know any number of people who paid theirs off.
Yeah,
is there going to be a retroactive repayment of those who paid it off?
No.
Because they had a contractual obligation? I doubt it.
No, you're just the sucker now. You were stupid for paying it off, right? I mean, that's how they're setting it up.
Yeah, dadgummit. I should have gone ahead and defaulted, and I would have gotten a bailout.
Yeah, if only you had been a piece of crap, if only you had been irresponsible, then you'd be rewarded by this country. Then you'd be celebrated and upheld by this country. But you, like a fool, actually did what you said you were going to do and paid off the debts that you had accrued. And gosh, you must feel silly now. I mean, that really is how backwards things are getting at this point.
It really is. And, you know, Harrison, I tell you, one of the things that's so awkward in all of this is the mental argument that I make for it, because the Biden administration allegedly does this on the basis that times are hard and the pandemic has authorized the president to take certain measures. At the same time, the same president has said our economy is strong as hell and the pandemic is over. So how do you mentally come to the decision that you can authorize $400 billion in payments on the one hand for things that you just said on the other are not even there anymore? It requires one of two decisions, either he's lying when he made the decision, or he's delusional when he made the decision, because he has already openly expressed that the grounds upon which his decision rests are invalid. It's kind of like if I were in court and had him on the stand as a witness, I would look at the judge and say, Your Honor, he's just impeached his own testimony.
It's a level of cognitive dissonance that I personally am not prepared to try to bridge the gap between. It makes no sense at all. We'll be back with more on the other side with Mr. Phil Williams. Again, you can find his website, rightsideradio.org, and we'll talk about the fact that this is, at the end of the day, just an open bribe to people. Vote for me and I'll pay you $10,000. That's what this amounts to, in my opinion. We'll be right back.
For nearly 30 years, crime was falling in the United States. No more. National murder rate is at its highest in 25 years.
Oh my God!
The result of far-left policies that leave innocent Americans at the mercy of violent criminals. You've seen the images. Subway riders pushed onto tracks by the violently deranged. Stores being looted in broad daylight. Elderly women viciously beaten on the street and outside their homes. Gang shootings turning cities into war zones. Hardened criminals rampaging without fear. No fear of arrest. No fear of prosecution. No fear of jail. No fear of any consequence at all. Instead, you are made to live in fear. Woke progressive prosecutors are releasing dangerous predators before trial. Woke far-left politicians have allowed our streets and parks to be overrun with crime and drugs. Police have been made into the enemy and criminals into a protected class. Violent crime is up 21% in Washington, D.C., 35% in Chicago, 41% in New York City, and murders are up 207% in Portland. Cities in chaos, billions in property damages, lives, families destroyed. Stop the woke war on police. Stop the far-left assault on public safety. Stop the radical left-wing love affair with criminals. Stop the insanity. Citizens for Sanity paid for this ad.
are the resistance.
Look around you. Everything I predicted from the Global Stone documents, from their own admissions, is now happening. InfoWars credibility, my credibility, has never been higher. And it's because of your backing of this operation that I can steadfastly, despite the censorship and the boycotts and the attacks and the lawsuits, stay on air. But now we're reaching the most critical juncture in the fight together. So I want to ask all of you today to help keep me on the air. In my decades on air, I've never asked for personal donations, but I'm being forced by the bankruptcy court to pay for 40% of the legal fees, and I can't fund those myself. It's unsustainable. So please visit SaveInfoWars.com. SaveInfoWars.com, where you can make straight donations, $5, $10, $50, $100, whatever you can, so that I can continue to persevere. I'll never give up. I'll never give in, but I could give out. Thank you for your support. Wouldn't be here without you. SaveInfoWars.com. Everybody says they want people to stand up and fight tyranny. But when you fight tyranny, the New World Order comes after you. Now, I knew that. And for 28 years, I've been on air exposing these people, and together we've had a great effect. But listen, they're coming after us right now. They're trying to shut us down, but they can't beat the power of we the people, of you and I together. So please visit InfoWarsStore.com and get incredible, game-changing products while at the same time keeping us on air. We have the biggest sale of the year running right now at InfoWarsStore.com, and you get an additional 10% off on the deals that are at least 40% off. Many are 50% off on Vitamin Mineral Fusion, X3, DNA Force Plus, you name it. So on top of 50% off, at checkout with promo code 1776 or 1776, an additional 10% off and no Patriot points. This is by far the biggest sale of the year. Keeps us on air, plus they're great products. Check them out at InfoWarsStore.com with promo code 1776.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, Harrison Smith here. You're watching American Journal. My guest is Phil Williams. You can find his website at rightsideradio.org. Rightside Radio can also be found anywhere good podcasts are hosted, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. You can also find them on all the social medias, everywhere from Twitter, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, and Getter. Just go to rightsideradio.org and you can find links to the others. His personal Twitter is at S-E-N, Phil Williams. And we're talking about the fact that there's no such thing as a free lunch and the bailout program for student debt loans. And I mentioned at the end of the last segment the idea that this is just an open bribe. And this type of talk and this type of argument, I guess, has been going on since, you know, the Roman Republic and the corn dole, where they were saying you can't You're bribing people with my corn, essentially. You're saying, vote for me and I'll give you that guy's corn. That's not okay. These types of arguments have been going on forever. In this case, I can't see it not working. I know so many people my age who have student debt and they go, look, you know, everything's going to crap anyway. I'll vote for Joe Biden. If he wins, I get $10,000 off my student loan. That will be the decision that decides who they vote for. And it doesn't matter that it's immoral of them to do so. It's $10,000 and they're going to do it, you know, whether it's a good thing to do or not. What's your take on that, this being an open bribe to a huge number of American citizens?
Oh, man, this is like the Obama phone on steroids. Right. I mean, this is literally saying, hey, you there, I'm going to give you something and you're going to love me for it. Yep. I mean, it reminds me of that scene from the movie Gladiator where the two senators were talking and he said he will give them games and they will love him for it. That's what it feels like. And the very idea that they're going to have this $400 billion payout with a sort of a hassle-free guarantee, just tell us it's hard, we'll pay you. And then next thing you know, they're also, by the way, pandering. Just the other day in studio during my show, I had, you know, multiple screens up on the wall. CNN was running a piece that said Biden speaking to student groups in order to encourage voter turnout and in regards to the student loan bailout. And I thought, they put it all on one banner.
Right.
It's all right there.
Right. There it is. I mean, and they're pretty much open about it at this point. You know, they're just saying, hey, you vote for me and I'll give you $10,000. Vote for the other guy and you'll be left with nothing. Of course, there's no way to run a country. And again, it's like a bribe, but it's not even a bribe with your own money. A bribe with your own money is one thing. This is a bribe with my money and with your money, with people who work. Our money is going to pay for people who don't make money to pay off the debts they should have never accrued in the first place. And that would have never been as high as it was without the government guarantee of the loan in the first place. And we can talk about that. But let's talk about some of the ways that they're justifying this, because you mentioned during the break that the arguments that they're making about PPP loans and the GI Bill, I mean, the fact is they just want money and they're greedy and they're making up excuses for it. But talk a little bit about some of the excuses and parallels that they're drawing to try to justify this open bribe.
Yeah, man. Thank you. So the military is a huge part of my background. 30 years of service, tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan, and so the GI Bill is out there, and I get it. And they want to say that if you have signed up for the student loan bailout, it's no different than the GI Bill because we pay off an education for veterans. I got news. Those veterans had to go do some hard stuff to get there. Not necessarily all wartime. At the very least, they had to enlist for a period of time and serve our country in whatever capacity. And so the idea that they can equate that somehow to a student loan bailout because you just didn't want to pay your debts or you said times were hard, totally different concept, apples and oranges.
See, but I think
the other one they're talking about so often is this PPP loan that we had during the pandemic.
Right.
Well, first of all, the PPP loan was congressionally authorized because the power of the purse rests in the legislative branch. But then at the same time, the PPP loan was also there if you could keep your employees on staff and on payroll during the pandemic. When they shut you down, by the way, they would try to help you through that time frame. And it was forgivable only if you applied for forgiveness and met certain criteria. In other words, if you didn't meet the criteria, you were going to pay it back. Well, so keeping people paid and the economy somewhat afloat because they shut you down equates to a student loan bailout. Ain't no way. Totally different facts and patterns.
Right.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've talked about that on this show where, you know, if it's the government that's forcing you to shut your doors, if the government, you know, if you try to open your business during the during the pandemic, they sent tanks to your – I mean, we went and visited in out in West Texas, you know, bars where the sheriff had gone and pointed AR-15s in the faces of the people who opened their bar and said, shut it down or you're going to be arrested. So when they forcibly shut you down, yeah, it's kind of their responsibility to make sure that you don't go hungry for that. I oppose all of it. I wish it never happened in the first place. But if you're going to shut it down, it is your responsibility slightly to make sure that their lives aren't destroyed from that. And the GI Bill, I think we should have a reverse GI Bill. If they pay off your student loan debt, you are then signed up for whatever new adventure they have for you overseas. I think that's a great idea.
That beats the draft, right? Hey,
yeah.
Man, you got something from us. We got something for you. I'm pretty sure that that would go over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, I don't think that would go over. I think that would actually severely weaken our armed forces if we got a bunch of, as you say, underweaving underwater basket weaving, you know, majors out in the field. I'm not sure that would actually help our army in the first place. But again, it's the legal, ethical, and mental arguments that you make. And to me, the ethical one is of such importance, and it really does show how far we've fallen as a country that people don't even want to be responsible. They think responsibility is foolishness. If you're being responsible, you're being an idiot. What you should be doing is just trying to get by however you can and trying to get what's yours however you can. There's no sense of moral force behind anything that we do anymore. It's all immoral. And to me, that really is signaled by this whole bailout, is they don't even care about the morality anymore.
No, they don't. And so often today, we wind up seeing the idea of helping someone being used as a bludgeon to justify progressive ideologies. I got news. There are any number of ways that someone could pay off a student loan. If you can't find a job within the context of your degree pattern, well, I got news. Early on in our life, my wife and I, we were committed to raising our kids and her being at home. I delivered pizza. I did early morning janitorial work. I was in the National Guard. I spent time doing whatever it took to make sure the bills got paid, which included her student loan.
Yeah.
And that's just what it takes. There is work out there if you want it. It may not be the work you went to school for, but by God, you've got a contract with a loan. Go work, pay it off, be done. But the idea that we should all pay it off because it's just hard for you. Oh, there's the underwater basket weaving. Love the imagery there. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. The crew pulls up stuff you don't even think would exist, but it's out there. It's out there. They can find it. Yeah, future Navy SEAL right there. But, you know, it also, you know, the student loan issue is a big issue. I would like to see students in America be able to go to school and not leave saddled with this insane debt. I think that's a problem, but this is not a solution to that. It only furthers this problem, right? I mean, this is not a solution to the issue of how expensive schools are. This is a Band-Aid over a blister that's actually just the apparent symptoms of a cancer that's really rotting us out from the inside. Would you agree with that sort of characterization?
Oh, I would. I think you're absolutely right. Now, are there reforms that can be made to the overall system? Possibly. I think that you ought to look at universities perhaps having to validate that the career track that the person wants to be on substantiates the ability to get the loan. Right. Or perhaps there are certain majors that don't qualify, period, because they're just known to be non-productive.
Right.
But the reality is that the true benefactor of the loan is the person who signed the papers. And they're the ones also getting the bailout. And so in the end, they signed up for a contract. And as an attorney, I can just tell you, there has to be what's known as a meeting of the minds. And there was a meeting of the minds. And if you can prove that there was coercion or undue influence in some way and it defeats the meeting of the minds argument, okay. But if they gave you the money, then consideration passed between the parties, you're in a contract and you need to follow through on your obligations.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's incumbent on the banks or whoever's giving out these loans also to make sure the loans they're giving out can actually be paid. But it doesn't seem like they would care about that anymore. I mean, they're going to get paid by the government regardless. So, you know, give out those underwater basket weaving loans, even though you know it's never going to get paid back because the government will just take it from taxpayers anyway. Well, like I said, this article is absolutely fantastic. It's by Phil Williams. No such thing as a free lunch. It can be found on 1819news.com. And the whole thing is just brilliant. It really lays into what's happening in this country, really, and how it's accelerating and how every problem they create creates another set of problems, which happened with the PPP loans, too. Now they've launched an entire FBI sector to just deal with the theft of the PPP loans. So, you know, maybe after this, we'll have to, you know, launch another investigation into all of the cheating that people did to get these loans, even though they don't qualify for them. I mean, it's just problem after problem, Phil. We got to do something to extricate ourselves from this.
Yeah, I mean, at some point we have to stop spending money, right? I mean, there's not an endless pot, and the printing presses can only run so long. So I agree. Let's get back to the nation of hard work and the American dream and just keep getting government out of people's way and watch them succeed.
Could not agree more. Thank you so much for being with us. RightSideRadio.org is where you find the Right Side Radio broadcast as well as anywhere podcasts are hosted.
Let's talk to Heath in FEMA Region 4. Heath, thanks for holding. Appreciate you, brother.
Hey, brother. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I got something I want to say, Alex. Of these pot-bellied pedophiles harming our children. And I'm sick of these demons attacking Christians and patriots like you. Take his platform away. You know what I mean? It just makes me sick.
What these demons don't know is they're giving us our launch pad. You see how God works?
Oh, yeah. This is the Great Awakening. I know, you know. It's happening, and I'm here for it. What a time to be alive. I mean, is this real life?
This is real life, Heath. I love you. Anything
well,
else?
You know, I know I said I'm sick, but I want to plug X2. I've been taking it. My girlfriend, I love you, Jessica. She's had health problems. She's been trying to fix for years, and we started taking X2 about a month and a half ago in B12. I've been a long-time listener, only just a new customer since then. I've been on fire. I've gotten the beat. I've gotten the Fizzy Magnesium, two orders of the B12 and the X2. My mom's ordering a year's worth of food. She just got X3 in the mail. You're on fire, brother. I'm trying to get her to order your book. I'm trying to get some money up.
Brother, right. We love you, the funding, because it's all about the war. And it's your support that's letting us do this.
Hey, if I had $8.7 billion, brother, I'd give it to you. Keep fighting the good fight.
We're never giving up, folks. People want a people's media. We're in. Thank you, Heath.
You're watching The American Journal with Harrison Smith.
The Alex Jones Show.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.